T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hertel and Jacob Albright on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome to KFH Sports Daily. We're glad to have you join us. Bruce will be with us in just a second. It's nice to have Jad Chambers in his place, though, I can tell you that right now. Jad, how the heck are you this morning? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask, but I'm going to ask anyway. I'm going to let you lie if you want to. But how are you doing? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right, I think. I had something happen to me yesterday, wound up going to the doctor, but and I am still in a fair amount of pain. But, you know, I just finished, you know, 3 hours of Stephen Ted in the morning over there, and usually at about this time I'm feeling a whole lot of pain just because of that anyway, so well, I'm just kind of used to it, I guess.
Well, I suppose that could be the case, but we're glad you're with us this morning. You know, you're that guy that's behind the scenes that make Bruce and I tell you every day when we walk out of the studio, what do I say? I say thank you. Go ahead.
You say you make us sound better than we really are.
That's right. That's what you do, Jad. And I know that Bruce would agree with me on that. And we do appreciate you making Bruce and I sound better than we really are. And the same with Jacob. He has the same feelings. So I hope you start feeling better. It'll be good to see you bouncing around this place like you normally do. But we're glad you're joining us today until we can get a hold of Bruce. And in the meantime, we're just going to run this show just like we normally would. And, of course, I think probably, at least unless you would disagree with this, Jad, the place to start right now is probably with a little Olympic updates. There's things going on. United States really has a great game against Israel to open up Olympic baseball. Yep. So baseball's rolling again, I believe. Tomorrow, another game will be played by the U.S. But you know, there's high hopes on that. Baseball is considered sort of America's sport. I don't know about the way you feel about it, but baseball is one of those traditions.
Well, traditionally, it's considered, America's pastime.
Basketball and baseball are two of the sports that I think to myself, well, deep down inside, you know, the United States ought to be winning those gold medals year in and year out, if for no other reason, just for historical tradition. And but baseball is going to be played again tomorrow by the USA. One of the things that really has me bothered is that the United States is out of a quick track 4x400 relay, and that kind of hurts. But you know, Bruce, it's one of those things where these kind of things in Olympics happen. You know, relays doesn't mean that the team with the four fastest individuals always wins. You know, there's technique, there's
luck. Got to pass the baton.
That's the key.
Got to pass the baton.
You know,
right?
you have teams that really and truly aren't as fast as other teams that win because they have such great handoffs that it you know, no time is lost, no speed is lost, no effort is lost. And really, it's an art, and it takes a lot of practice.
Do you take it personally when the United States doesn't do well anymore? I mean, aren't we all past that point?
No. There are sports I take. Now, if we do poorly in water polo, your favorite Olympic sport.
You mean the hardest one to play?
Well, yes, I still say that is probably true, since they don't let you touch the bottom of the pool. I would say that's probably true. But here's the thing is that there are sports, and I just touched on this with Jad for just a second ago, is that there are sports that, yes, I guess I take basketball personally. Yes, I think I take baseball personally. As a matter of fact, even though it wasn't originated in the United States, golf to a certain extent, now that it is a part of the Olympics, yeah, I can take that a little bit personal because, to be truthful, we've got the finest golfers in all of the world. All of the world, most of the great
Go ahead. The Ryder Cup might not agree with you, okay. All right, I'll listen to that.
Okay.
I mean, we have the finest golfers in the world because we have more of them.
Well, we got a lot of them. We got a lot of golf courses.
We got over 380 million people. I'm not sure what the number is, but it's over 300 million people in this country. The law of averages stacks up in our favor. Just because we're Americans doesn't make us better golfers. We're better golfers because we have more of them to compare with any other country in the golf playing world.
Well, we have more opportunity in terms of golf courses. I mean, you can't almost go into any even small town or village that there isn't a lot of times a 9-hole golf course, if nothing else. I mean, it's available. It's out there. I mean, if you want to go hit some golf balls in this country, you can go out and hit some in the park or whatever. Yeah, you're right. The availability is, well, it's there.
I think basketball is the only thing, and as I've said before on this show over really the last month, that doesn't even bother me as much now as it slayed me in 72 when the United States lost to the Soviet Union.
That was a stack deal, though. But
for a youngster that was totally immersed in the idea of American superiority athletically, and especially in the game of basketball, which was our game. I mean, it's James Naismith, doing the peach baskets at the Springfield YMCA and the whole nine yards. I mean, we got screwed, but I mean, my attitude was, well, why were we ever even in a game close enough to be screwed in? You know what I mean? It was kind of like, wow. But it doesn't bother me as much anymore because the NBA has done their job. And the NBA's job isn't to dominate the world, not competitively. I think the NBA's job is to continue to build the business of basketball worldwide, to continue to bring the game to corners of the earth that maybe it hasn't been as available in, to develop stars outside of the United States that we can cheer for, relate to, follow, etc., but that people in Slovenia and Serbia and others can follow with great interest, and it's something that unites us all as basketball fans. I'm way past that point now. The United States doesn't win a gold medal. Okay, so what? Doesn't mean anything. I know the best basketball in the world is played in the United States, and I know the best basketball in the world is played generally by Americans. Not as much as it used to be, but by and large, that's the truth. Baseball? We've got kind of a makeshift team over there anyway. It's not really any sort of representation of the prowess for baseball in this country. If Americans sent the best players, instead of having the best players being traded yesterday, a la Max Scherzer, that would be a totally different kind of competition. We had that with the, what was it, the Baseball Congress or the whatever it was for a few years before the season. That was kind of fun back in the day, but we don't do that anymore. So, no, it doesn't bother me that much. I like good stories. I like stories of triumph. I like stories of overcoming. I like stories of realizing dreams, things of that nature. And if it's American or if it's Siberian or if it's Ecuadorian, what difference does it really make? We can all relate to it on a human level, can't we?
Yes, we can. And what you just mentioned that you really love, I as well love. And I don't even need to love it in the format of the Olympics. I love it in the format of a great story about, you know, a manager who has certain physical challenges who comes out onto the court of the last game and you know, makes a basket for his team.
Sure.
In a week. I mean,
yeah, that's fun.
There are moments that make me proud to say, you know, I live my life and have molded it around sports to a certain extent. It is who I am. And maybe that's what it says more about you, Bruce Hurdle, is that, and I'm just going to throw this out, and you can either yay it or nay it. Either one, it's okay with me. There's no right or wrong answer. And that is, sports is not necessarily about who's playing it, but it's about how the game is played. It's about how things are overcome. It's how adversity is used to fire one's ability up to the point where, yes, you can win. Yes, you can give it a great effort. And I think it's probably at a point, too, where, you know something? I'm mature enough at this stage of life to understand that I can't win everything. You know, there's years where we don't win an indoor championship in indoor football. There are years that happens. I don't like those years. I certainly have more fun when I get a ring. But that's not necessarily the most important thing about sports for me, is the fact that I really love seeing young men become better athletes and better people. I really love the process of putting the product together. I really love watching teams that you compete against get better and challenge you. Those are the things that I love. And yeah. And it's not necessarily that it's the USA, and it's not necessarily that it's the Wichita Force. It's about sports. And sports is bigger than any one country. Sports are bigger than any one person. That is for sure. So I think that's where I'm at. I don't know if that's where you're at, but it sounds like that might be fairly close to where you're at.
The best moment for me last night in watching what I did watch of the Olympics was the I think it was the women's breaststroke, or I can't remember, but a South African gal won it.
That is correct. I know it's exactly what you're talking about.
And the two American women finished for silver and bronze. And the backstory of these gals was one of them, who they're both from Indiana, but one of whom swam at Auburn, the other one at the University of Indiana. And the young lady from Auburn's father had passed away over the last couple of months, and she was really teetering on whether or not to continue her training, trying for a spot on the Olympic team. And this other American gal said, you know, their friendship pulled them together, and they made the team together. Last night, they medaled together, which was great in and of its own.
Right.
But the moment that they shared with the winner from South Africa, who set a world record in the pool in the same race to win the gold, was, for me, without being silly and without being, you know, altruistic or whatever, it was the highlight of the evening for me. You know, just to see them exalting in each other's success, albeit different levels, to share together a great triumph by a South African swimmer who set a world record. It's the only swimming world record, at least I think to this point, that has been set in the pool at Tokyo. And it was just a really cool moment. And I'm thankful for those moments, and I'm thankful that the Olympics gives us those moments. And it's not like we don't get those moments in other sports. We do. Sometimes they're magnified by television or by media. Other times they happen very quietly. But they're no less real, and they're no less poignant, and they're no less a reminder of the good in us. And the ability for us to wish good things for others instead of which we see so much in our culture, wishing poorly on people, and which I don't understand, to be really candid. But this is a great example of exalting in the best of the human condition and the human spirit, and to celebrate it. I think it's a wonderful thing, and that for me was my moment last night. It was a, you know, God, good for you guys. I mean, everybody gets it. Everyone is part of a medal, but you're even more than that. You're part of a celebration for beyond just who won the race. All of the training, all of the work, all of the time, all of the effort, all of the adversity that they faced that you just talked about, all of those things that come together over the course of a year, an extra year of training because their dreams were dashed a year ago because of the pandemic. All of these things probably coming to a fore that maybe we as viewers are not totally familiar with. We see a winner, we see a silver, we see a bronze, we see them coming together, but it's the story behind the story. It's what they put into it, what they've gotten back out of it from the effort that they put forth. And that, to me, is the great value of an Olympic Games.
Isn't that?
And that's for me anyway. That's how it works for me.
That is well said, and I think yesterday, sometime, I think I sent you an article on Suni Lee and her Olympic gold as the best gymnast in the world. And I don't know why, how I'd missed this, but I hadn't seen until yesterday. And I don't know when it first aired. I would assume maybe a day earlier, but I didn't see it. The reaction to this young lady's family in Minneapolis, Minnesota, of all places, which is her hometown.
Sure.
A room full of people. Bruce, you've probably seen this scene where they erupt in cheers when she wins, and there's probably 100 people in that room. There may be more.
Even more than that. I think they said they had more than 200 people there.
Whatever it was, it was an unbelievable eruption. You know something? You can't buy that. You can't buy that.
No, you can't. You're right, Paul.
And then as I study this young lady's story, and we talk about the stories that are involved, and you talked about a South African
South African swimmer. Right.
You just talked about that, you know, overcoming and adjusting and making an Olympics, and then surviving through a COVID period of time, which we've all tried to do. We've survived the best we can do, and here she wins an Olympic gold. It's a beautiful story, but the story of this young gymnast. Being from Cambodia, Vietnam, that part of the world, her ancestry, and her dad coming over and making a life, and becoming the first Hmong. That's H-M-O-U-N-G, I believe is how you spell it. It is a dialect, or not a dialect, but a version of part of the Cambodia, of Vietnam, of those kind of that. And being the first Olympian, let alone a gold medalist. Bruce, I'll tell you, when I read that story, it was amazing. It is amazing the things this young lady has overcome. And to be able to represent a group of people who have never had an Olympian is just amazing. The story is beautiful. The actions of her family are beautiful. The scene on television at the jumping of joy of these people is amazing. If you haven't seen it, somehow get online, find it, and watch that moment. It is one of those moments of pure joy that you just don't see very often. But I get you, Bruce. I understand what you're saying, and I think I'm with you in terms of nationalism, although I still have some pride. There's still something about seeing that USA on your jersey that I think is awful special. I'll never forget. I interviewed an Olympian, probably 7 or 8 years in another lifetime, it seems like, who said and said on air, said, when I put my uniform on and I saw the USA in the mirror, it made me cry a little bit. I had tears running down my cheek. There's still something special about putting on a jersey that has USA on the front.
I think anyone representing their country regardless whether it's France, Guyana, Canada, the United States, I think anyone in the world being able to step on a stage like the Olympics and represent your country in doing so is unique. It's special. It's rare. It, all of those things. So I totally get it. Absolutely. Fun stuff last night. Maybe in a little different way than some had expected, but definitely meaningful for me as I watched some of that unfold while I was doing baseball and the NBA draft and all of the things that we will get to today. And by the way, let's spend a little time on the criticism of Simone Biles, who obviously has felt pressured enough to kind of bounce back on social media this morning or last night, defending herself against accusations that she quit on her team. Got a little thought on that.
Okay.
We're going to get to plenty of other things as well. It was a big day in baseball, part of what's on tap. Courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets, the home of the Daily Lunch Special, Side Pockets, Kellogg and Tyler in Tyler Landing. Some big names in different places. And, of course, the NBA's draft last night. Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State, the number one pick to the Detroit Pistons. All that and the latest from conference realignment. Oh, yeah. Can't have another day without that discussion. So much more to get to. Savage, yours truly. Jad Chambers produces. It is Sports Daily, and it's a Friday right here on your sports station, KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.